Coming up on 5 minutes after six, John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Well, now you can't talk about the Seattle Seahawks heading to the Super Bowl without talking to the Seattle Seahawks' first starting quarterback, Seahawks legend, member of the Ring of Honor, and that would be, of course, Jim Zorn joining us live from Mobile, Alabama. Do I have that right, Jim?
That's right. I'm down here in Mobile, Alabama. It's a beautiful day down here.
Yeah, hanging out at the Senior Bowl, right?
Yeah, the Senior Bowl practices are all this week, and actually the Senior Bowl takes place on Saturday. But the coaches come down here and scouts to watch the young men, the future, really, the future of the NFL. You know, there'll be some players that we're watching today that are going to make names for themselves.
Okay, so let me take you right to Super Bowl Sunday. You've got the best defense in the NFL, Seattle Seahawks, going up against the best offense, Denver Broncos, maybe the best quarterback, or who's being called the best regular season quarterback of all time, Peyton Manning. How do you like the Hawks' chances here, Jim?
I very much like the Hawks' chances. I think there's keys to the game, and those will be continued to be talked about until the game's played. But one of the best ways to beat the Broncos is keep Peyton off the field, and what better way with the defense trying to get him to go three and out.
Now, you're of course not only a former player but former coach. There was a pivotal play early in the fourth quarter, the championship game against San Francisco. The Seahawks had it 4th and 7. We could have tried a long field goal. We opted to go for a first down. And instead, we got a free play because it was an offsides. You had Russell Wilson throwing into the end zone, connecting with Jermaine Kearse. You're a former coach. Yeah, as an NFL coach yourself, tell me about that call. Would you have made a call like that?
That's a very, very difficult call with 4th and 7. I understand it was a 53-yard field goal, and if you miss, they get the ball right there, so they have a short field. So you save 8 yards if you just throw an incompletion. You don't get the opportunity for the points, but you don't give them the ball with a half field. So,
that's a good point. Yeah.
We're great for the Hawks and really excited for a play like that. It was the key play at that moment. I'm sure, think about the slow motion replay of how close that ball got batted down by Carlos Rogers. And, yes. that was pretty amazing shot right there, I thought.
No, if he hadn't cradled that ball between his elbow and bicep, that just becomes one long incomplete pass, and the Niners would have had excellent field position.
It was a great read and great throw, and you look at all these plays that weren't successful, but a play like that gives you the understanding of why Russell Wilson has had the year he's had, because that play, that throw was just a great throw and a great catch, and it's why the Hawks are going to the Super Bowl.
Let me ask you about something that happened post-game that nobody has commented on yet that I thought was kind of touching. When they were presenting the George Halas Trophy, signifying the National Conference Championship, the person who actually gave Paul Allen the trophy was the former owner of the Seattle Seahawks, John Nordstrom. And, of course, John owned the team when you were on the Hawks.
It was a very emotional moment for a lot of us who know John and kind of have the history with the Seahawks. I mean, I almost stood up out of my chair out of respect, for what was going on. And he did such a great job. It meant so much to him. I absolutely was tearing up because, it was, and not with just excitement, but with just the fact that the Seahawks have just done a great job of keeping past players, owners, coaches involved with the Seahawks over this whole season. It's just been wonderful. And to see John be able to present that trophy was touching. It was important. And I'm just so glad he got to those two guys, John and Paul Allen, got to be together for that moment. It was special. It really was.
And in keeping with what you're saying about remembering the heritage of the Seattle Seahawks, who did they choose to raise the 12th man flag against the New Orleans Saints? Jim Zorn.
Yeah. No, that was very special for me. Nerve-wracking, because when you raise it, you just don't want to be the guy that raises it and have the team lose. So I was so excited that they beat the Saints. And then Paul Allen got to raise the flag for the championship game, which was awesome. And everything was, it's been a wonderful season and a great story.
You know,
it really has been.
If the owner wants to pull rank for the NFC Championship game, I say let him. he's invested a lot in that team.
I hope we get to raise a flag in New York.
Oh yeah,
I hope somebody gets to raise a flag in New York for the Seahawks fans who get to attend.
So, as a former player and as a coach, give me your take on the whole Richard Sherman post-game comments to Aaron Andrews, which everyone has heard so many times, I don't even need to play the 22nd tape.
Yeah. Well, I was amazed that they could get to a young player at such a time when he had just made the play, the emotion of the game was still there, and they just put that microphone right in front of him. And I thought it was just awesome, because it really shows what the intensity of the game is, and you can just see that those two guys were battling it out they were kind of battling all day long, and you could see the kind of battle that they were having because of that intensity. And he just let it out. Here's what this game's all about. And
you could feel watching the interview, you could feel the adrenaline.
Yes. And, it's almost, the battle was still going on in his mind, and he wasn't going to let up. And then I think he finally realized, oh, yeah, by the way, it's the end of the game. And, you know, that's why by the end of the game, if you were in the locker room or you were walking out with the players, they are very much a different type of person with their emotion. Same person, different emotion, walking out, enjoying their kids, enjoying their teammates, enjoying their families, and you just can't imagine that you can do that. And most of the players around this league can do that very thing. They turn it on, and they turn it off. And there's a few that can't, that struggle with that. But most of those players, and as you saw when Richard did his post-game interviews after he had gotten a shower and gotten dressed, you know, he was much more calm and much more a matter of fact.
I think he would have said much the same thing in a far more diplomatic way.
Yeah,
I think he still would have been very critical of Michael Crabtree, but I think we just would have a whole different tone.
Yeah, wasn't it great though to see that you know, players do care that much, and on defense, it's that threat of somebody taking the yardage and taking the ball across that goal line. It's that kind of fight that is in those players. They don't talk. You know, you can't hear those words during the game, but that's some of the intensity and that's some of the emotion that actually is in the game, especially on the field during any particular play.
So you're saying,
gotta be ready for that.
Yeah, that's a very interesting insight, Jim Zorn, where you're saying that people get this blast furnace of rhetoric from Richard Sherman. What they were actually seeing was an insight to what's happening on that field all 60 minutes of the game, that if you want to know how amped up these guys are, and if you want to know at what level they're playing and what their mood and temperament is on the field while they're in the heat of battle, you heard it from Richard or from Sherman right after the game.
Yeah. Well, you almost thought that it was absurd. I'm the best corner in the National Football League, but what he was doing was, it was pretty good self-talk. He was saying, hey, I'm the best out here, and nobody is going to score on me. Nobody's going to take that ball and put it across the goal line, and nobody's going to threaten me as a player, even the battle with Crabtree, you know. And I thought that was, he might have, we all might say, well, he was disrespecting him and all that, but see, I think that was mutual respect. I think that was just those guys saying, you're not very good. No, you're not very good. I'm better. No, I'm better. And, you know, just fighting and scratching and clawing to make sure that they had that confidence of making those plays.
That's a very interesting take on this, Jim. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, and that is, if you hadn't heard the announcement, Roger Goodell is thinking about doing away with the point after touchdown, the extra point. It's a lot of people think, you know, it takes time, it's boring, it's not consequential, it's hardly ever missed, and if it is missed, it's hardly ever consequential in any real way. What do you think, as a former player and coach?
They would concede the touchdown, and your try, if you wanted to go for two, I think it hurts the long snappers. now they don't get to have that precision snap. The holder doesn't, you know, that to me, that I was a holder my whole career, and that extra point was absolutely as an important play in the game for the kicker, holder, snapper, and the wings, the guys who have to block those guys diving in to go block the kick, the offensive guards having to hold a guy out who's going to bull rush him to try to get a block. You know, you talk about Joe Nash, who was a defensive lineman with us years ago. He blocked many of those extra points as a player. So, I just wonder if it just takes away one of the real rules of the game. Hey, you've got to kick an extra point to get it. They're going to try to maybe make the it's just to make the game a little bit quicker, where they don't have to spend that moment of time to kick such a high percentage kick and risk a little more injury, maybe risk I don't know what it's risking for the kicker, holder, snapper, but maybe a little injury, and then they can get the game moving. Also, it makes that 2-point play a little more exciting.
All right. But by the way, have the Seattle Seahawks faced a cadre of offensive receivers as good as Denver's? Because it's all going to get down to Peyton Manning in the passing game.
Yep. They're very good. And I think, obviously, Peyton puts that ball right on the money. And I think the advantage that the Seahawks have and have had all year is when the ball has gotten there, they've been able to make plays. They've actually finished. You saw some of the slow motion of Richard's Sherman's play in the end zone, you know, just getting his eyes on that ball and being able to, you know, coordinate his body to bat that ball back. Those are the kinds of things that, the Seahawks are going to have to continue to have. And Peyton is, I think, brilliant with the rhythm of his throws, getting the ball up and down, his ball speed, his trajectory. So that's something that those guys are going to have to study, because that ball gets there in a hurry. And you're right, with as many weapons as he has, it's going to be a struggle. It really is.
You know, there's a lot of great quarterbacks in the league. What is it? As a former quarterback yourself, former quarterback coach, and former head coach, what is it that makes Peyton Manning the the gold standard, the diamond bearer, the top of the heap?
Yeah, I think when it's a zone, he's throwing a combination route that creates a stress on the zone. Mm-hmm. You know, he's either had it called or he's working one side or the other, the side where he's working a zone play. So that's one thing. And then when it's man, he can find the one-on-one, and he's very, very precise with the ball. The other thing that I think that makes Peyton Manning stand out is he is willing on first down to take 5 yards with a throw, even into a real tight coverage. He just wants to get him accurate where he puts the ball. So he'll, you know, there might be something bigger if he waits, but he doesn't wait. He takes the shot or takes the 5 yard pass. Now it's second and five. Now he has a chance. Now on defense, what are you going to do? It's second and five. Are you going to try to line up and stop the run? He'll take another 3 yard. Now it's third and two. Or he'll take another 5 yard throw, and he's willing to do that all the way down the field. When he's got that opportunity to take the 30 yard throw, as you saw last week against New England, he took it. And so, you know, he's so disciplined at feeling, I'm going to move the chains, I'm going to move the chains, and then I'm going to take this little shot, and now I'm going to move the chains.
All
and
right.
So you get down there, and they're either kicking field goals or scoring touchdowns.
All right.
He's pretty good at it.
Jim Zorns, always great having your comments here on Talk Radio 570 KVI, especially insightful comments about the Richard Sherman interview afterwards. Thanks very much for that. I appreciate you joining me here this morning.
You're welcome, John. It's always great to be with you. Have a good day up there.
You got it. You got it, Jim. That's Jim Zorn joining us here at Talk Radio 570 KVI, 22 minutes after 6.